You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here after dark on a very lonely, I should say, Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And day two of the NFL draft is in the books. Thursday, an exciting night. Friday, today, an exciting, busy day slash night. And we are feeling good. It's been a crazy 24 hours. A lot has happened. A lot of picks have come. We will get to the picks in just a little bit. Don't you worry. But it has been a wild, wild, wild 24 hours. And we are excited to break it all down coming up. And exciting news, we are going to play in just a little bit after I handle my spiel. We are going to play our interview with the number one, well, not the number one overall pick, I should say, the Raiders number one overall pick, number 17 overall, Alex Leatherwood, the tackle from the University of Alabama, the man who will be manning the right side of the offensive line for your Las Vegas Raiders. And I sat down with him earlier this afternoon. As I said, crazy day here at the building. We sat down with Alex. We got our first chance to meet him. Super nice guy, a guy who's excited to be in Las Vegas, a guy who is fired up to be a Raider, a guy who frankly is out there and he's not worried about proving anyone wrong. He just wants to prove the Raiders right. He wants to show that he was the right choice at number 17 for this team. And after sitting down, after talking with him, after hearing him do, kind of go through the media gauntlet a little bit this afternoon, he is a guy that you can't help but root for. A guy with a good head on his shoulders, understands the game, has an appreciation for the game, loves learning about the game. And if you're a fan of this team and you're looking at the offensive line in particular, that is what you want. You want to add a statement piece, a foundational piece to those big fellas up front. And I think that is exactly what Alex Leatherwood did. But Alex Leatherwood is not the newest member anymore, I should say, of the Las Vegas Raiders, as the Silver and Black made three more picks this evening. Trayvon Merrig. It's a hard one to say. I had to look at the pronunciation guy. Trayvon Merrig out of TCU at number 43 overall. And then back-to-back, 79 and 80, Malcolm Kuntz out of Buffalo and Divine Diablo out of Virginia Tech. And Divine Diablo, congratulations, my friend. You have the best name in the draft. But when you look at the theme of today, it was an easy theme to see. We're talking defense, baby. Gus Bradley has got to be the happiest person in this building. After addressing the offensive line yesterday on Thursday, the Raiders went defensive today, shoring up a group that, frankly, we all know needed to be better headed into 2021. And is it exciting to see that the issues have been, I don't want to say resolved, but they have been attempted to be remedied? Because let's be honest, we won't really know what we're getting out of these guys until the regular season rolls around. But on paper, you got to feel really, really good about what Mike Mayock and John Gruden did today. And you got to feel really good about what they did yesterday. And it's really interesting. And I'm going to ask Eric Allen about this on the back end of the show. The narrative, has completely changed over the past 24 hours. A night ago, we're sitting here and we're looking on Twitter just like the rest of you guys. And the sky is falling. Oh my goodness, what is going on in Las Vegas? What is going on at that beautiful Henderson facility? And fast forward, and the tone has changed. The tone has changed. But as I said, we will talk with Eric Allen about that in just a little bit. But before we do that, we're going to hear from the man of the hour yesterday. As I said, one of the newest members of the Las Vegas Raiders, tackle Alex Leatherwood. And he was really generous with his time. It has been, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a guy in his situation. The roller coaster of emotion that you have gone through over the past 24 hours. The avalanche of requests, things you got to do. You got to get on a plane. You got to fly across the country. You got to make sure all the health and safety protocols are in place. You got to do all this stuff. And he still, after all that, made time for us. So, Alex Leatherwood, you are good in my book, sir. We are very, very excited to have you here in Silver and Black. We are excited to see what you are going to do on this offensive line in just a little bit. So, without further ado, sit back and relax and enjoy our conversation with Alex Leatherwood. Congratulations. I imagine the past, 24 hours at this point has been pretty crazy for you.
Yes, sir, it has been. And I appreciate it. But, yeah, the past 24 hours, it's been great. Humbling experience, but I'm super excited and I'm ready to get to work.
How much sleep did you get last night?
How much sleep? I got a good amount because after the call and all like the crazy stuff happened, about like an hour and 30 minutes after I got drafted, I went straight to sleep.
Yeah, because you're on the East Coast, right? You're in Florida, so you're like, man, it's already kind of late. It's time to go to bed.
Exactly.
What was it like getting that call? I'm sure you've been asked a bunch over the past, you know, the past day. But I mean, what was it like when you see that number pop up with the phone? I mean, did you have any idea that it was going to be Gruden?
I didn't really. To be honest, it was almost surreal. Like my phone's actually ringing. You know what I mean? Like it's time. Like it's happening right now. Then hopped on the phone with him. He's like, "You want to be a Raider?" I was like, "Yeah, damn sure I do." You know what I mean? So I mean, it was cool. A great experience.
What does your phone look like an hour after getting drafted?
Over 600 new text messages. I mean, I already had like 1,000 plus unread. Like, it's probably about to like short circuit now. It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Wait, so hold up. So you had 1,000 unread going into draft night.
Yeah.
So you had to know going into that, though. Like, you know, this is the biggest moment of your professional life, and you're already sitting on 1,000?
Yeah, I knew, but I mean, hey.
That's all you can do, right?
Right.
So Tom Cable, we were talking to Mike Mayock last night, and he said that Tom Cable has said that you were his favorite player in this entire class. What has it been like having a chance to meet with Coach Cable? And I know that you haven't done a ton of it, just considering COVID and considering the circumstances. Mm-hmm. But what have your early kind of impressions been of Coach Cable?
I mean, I feel like he's a great stand-up guy, you know what I mean? He's somebody who respects and appreciates just being honest, you know what I mean, and being a straightforward person. And I feel like that's the type of person that I am. So I feel like the relationship me and him are going to have is going to be great.
What was it like going through this entire process? You know, a process that I'm sure you've been thinking about since you were a little kid, doing it mostly virtual, right? Going through, doing the whole COVID thing, being on Zoom and all that. And I know at some point we kind of get numb to it and it kind of comes our normal a little bit. But what was it like for you going through that whole thing?
I mean, just like you said, like eventually, you know, you just go numb. But essentially it was a 4-month interview process with 32 teams, you know what I mean? So just trying to be on my P's and Q's and present myself in the best way possible. I mean, I already had a great body of work being an athlete. So I just wanted to show all the teams like my character, my intellect and everything I was about. So you know what I mean? I feel like I did all that well and everything worked out smooth.
When you talk about being on the P's and Q's, and like you said, it's essentially a 4-month interview. Did you have a moment last night or yet where you can just kind of like exhale and be like, oh, okay, like this is done. This part of it's done. The worst thing, we have a lot of work to do, but that part of it's done.
Right. To be honest, going into that night, I really wasn't super stressed at all. You know what I mean? A lot of people was telling me like, you seem calm, you seem good. It's like, yeah, because I mean, I really controlled what I could control. You know what I mean? As far as my process and doing what I needed to do. But yeah, so I was good.
You know, as soon as, you know, the pick comes through last night, all of us here in the building started doing the same thing. Everyone's looking at the scouting reports. Oh, what does this guy do really well? And the one thing that kept coming up is that you're that dude in the run game, right?
Right.
Just a mauler in the run game. We were talking to Lincoln Kennedy, and he said, what's great about that is that's not something you can teach.
Right.
That's a mindset. That's something you're born with, that you want to dominate in the run game.
Right.
Is that how you kind of look at it too?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I mean, the run game, at the end of the day, it's moving the man from point A to point B. And I'm all about that, so yeah.
You know, you look at your body at work of Alabama, right? And you look at all the things that you've done and it speak for itself, right? But no rookie comes into this league a finished product. Right? I don't care if you're Trevor Lawrence or you're some guy that goes undrafted.
Right.
Everyone's got to get better. When you look at coming into here now, into this situation, like what do you look at wanting to get better over the next, you know, 6, 10, 12 months?
Everything, not just being a player, but as a young man as well. You know what I mean? Just polishing everything about myself, about my game, about my character, to represent me in this organization in the best way possible.
I mean, you talk about this organization, and one thing that you said last night in your first press conference as a Raider, a virtual press conference, right? But you said, like, I want to prove the Raiders right. Like, I'm not out here to prove anyone wrong. You know, there's people who are going to say, they're going to say what they're going to say.
Right.
But I want to prove that this team made the right choice with me.
Right.
And I thought that was an interesting way to kind of look at being a first rounder coming into this situation. And you're going to have a lot asked of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just an interesting way that you kind of phrase it and kind of how you want to attack this next chapter of your professional career.
Yeah, 1,000%. Because, I mean, Mayock, he essentially, like, took a bet on me. You know what I mean? Took a bet on me being a person who's going to come to the organization and contribute to wins. You know what I mean? And hopefully win a Super Bowl here and bring a Super Bowl to Las Vegas. So I want to prove them right because I'm grateful for him to have had that trust in me. You know what I mean? So that's definitely what I want to do. You know, the Raiders just as an organization has a, like a rich history and culture when it comes to like having a bunch of like great players, Pro Bowlers, all that good stuff. You know what I mean? And I want to continue that line of, you know, great players and great teams.
Rich history of really good linemen too.
Yeah.
You know, so we have some time coming up in the next couple of days with Coach Saban. Mm-hmm. So I need a good Saban story. Like, hit me with something like a funny Saban story from when you were in Tuscaloosa.
Oh no.
Something appropriate, right? I'm sure there's a ton of great ones.
Oh no, bro, I can't remember. It's too many to even try to like shuffle through. He's a character in itself, you know what I mean? Like his sense of humor, it's ridiculous. He's funny. He's a clown.
I buy it. So just wrapping up here with Alex Leatherwood now. So it's gotta be exciting to be reunited with Josh, with Henry. Like you're gonna come into this locker room and you're gonna be in a unique situation, a good situation where you're gonna be a lot of friendly faces. I'm sure you're pretty excited about that.
Right, 1,000%. Reuniting with my past teammates and stuff like that, just having a sense of comfortability, you know, taking on this new chapter in my life. So I feel like it's going to be great. They're going to be able to, you know, like show me the ropes and show me the way of being a Raider and things like that. And that's also great because we come from the same college. So like we got the same mindset as far as like the things we want to accomplish as like a team. And hopefully we can like get that spread throughout. You know what I mean? Because like we know how to win because of the place we come from. So
very well said. Well, hey, man, congratulations. I'm sure it's been a crazy day for you. So we appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us. And I know you got a lot to get to. So thanks. And we'll catch up with you soon. All right.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Thank you to our new pal, Alex Leatherwood. And like I said, a very hearty congratulations for him, for his family. This is a very exciting time for him. Everyone associated with him, this fan base, this team, this organization. It is an exciting time of the year, and like I said, we are so thrilled to have him be part of the Raiders family. And we're going to wrap up the show with another member of the Raiders family, Eric Allen and EA. Everyone seems to be singing a different tune than they were singing 24 hours ago. You and I were here in the building last night, and you look on Twitter, and the fans are upset, and they're, you know, oh, what are we doing? What are we doing? Fast forward 24 hours, and the tune has changed in a very dramatic way for the fans of this team.
It really has. And again, when you start talking about players that they can recognize, I think that has a little bit to do with it. You know, you can evaluate maybe a corner or a free safety or defensive end because there's sack numbers. So when you're talking about Alex, well, he's joining a group. And usually in the league, we look at the offensive line as a group. And we look at the end of the year, and we look at yards per carry. We look at if the running backs get into the second level. We look at touchdowns. We look at protection issues and those things. So it's not a glaring, but today was definitely needs met. All right. When you look at Trayvon, he was the number one safety on the board for the Raiders. They were able to get him after going up and get him after, you know, Dallas kind of showed some interest in getting a safety. So needs were met today, and that's the most important thing for your squad.
And speaking of Trayvon, I mean, you looked like a fortune teller earlier today, right? I mean, you go to Raiders.com, and we got Eric Allen, what, 3 days ago saying, I don't know. I like this Trayvon Merrick kid. I like this kid out of TCU.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking after the pick, and I was asking you kind of the difference between him and John Abram
mm-hmm.
and what they're going to be asked to kind of do in tandem. And Mike Mayock was talking about it tonight,
yes.
Where John Abram is going to be in the box, and I think an area that we all think that's where he needs to be. That's
right.
Where he is at his best. But what is having Trayvon in the back, what does it do for Jonathan in particular, but really for the rest of that defense?
Yeah, so cover three is going to be a big part of this defense going forward. Cover three and cover one look a lot alike if you're a quarterback, right? So, again, when you're talking about cover three, you need a post safety, someone who's familiar, someone who has a great range, is a big body type of guy, someone who understands route combinations as far as a deep route. So, first of all, I think Trayvon gets a lot of pluses because he's coming from the Big 12 where they're throwing the ball 80% of the time. They're talking about spread offenses. That translates into the AFC West with the type of quarterbacks he has to play. So, again, when you're talking about a defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, he wants to define the roles of his players. That way you understand and you know what you're doing, you play faster, you play better. So that's going to put Jonathan more in the box. And if you turn on Jonathan's film from last year, of course he made some mistakes. And a lot of those mistakes were made in the back end after he's been in the post, the disguising part of it. And now it's going to clean it up. I saw him running from sideline to sideline. He's an impact, explosive player, a guy who really has great instincts in the middle of the football field. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of times him coming off the edge once or twice. But that allows him to really define his role. Here's what you're doing each week. Here's the things that you have to study, be better at. And he's a great football player. He wants to be an outstanding football player. That's why he chose number 24 to represent Willie Brown and the great Charles Woodson, who's going to the Hall of Fame this year. So Trayvon, on the opposing side of that, will be that post safety. He's a guy who is familiar being in the middle of the football field, having that range. Played corner in high school, so he has ball skills. That's the big thing about playing defensive back these days. In any time of football, it's about being able to make plays on the ball, having those ball skills. That's something that jumps off the tape when you're talking about Trayvon.
I mean, you look at Jonathan Abram, too. I think we can all agree the effort has never been in question,
never.
Right? This is a dude who loves football. This is a dude who wants to, I mean, he's out there wanting to be on SportsCenter, you know, 100 times a game.
Yeah.
Which is, we got to find that balance.
We do.
Right? We got to find the balance
right.
in 2021.
Because he has to play.
Yeah.
He has to be available, right?
1,000%.
Yeah, he can't get into situations where he's knocking himself out or getting kicked out of the game because he's too physical.
So in terms of the communication between Jonathan and Trayvon, so if take me through this, if it's, you know, 3rd and 7, what are Trayvon and Jonathan talking about? Because
right.
we talk about how they're going to have to play in tandem. Mike was saying that tonight.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be kind of one in the same and movable together.
Right.
What does that look like, the communication between them, and how important is that?
Well, that's a great point, because now it comes down to situational football and film preparation. And both of these guys and I know Jonathan does a great job of studying film and understanding route combinations. So what that's going to look like is you get a pre-snap read while you are walking around. Like, hey, you know what? This is trips. We got three away. We got the backside receiver. Okay. So me, as a middle safety, I'm going to try and help my corner with a little window dressing by sitting in that third box on that backside slant. So now Trayvon can see that, and now he can edge a little bit to the three receiver side. So that's just pre-snap. We're just walking around talking pre-snap. And so now after the ball is snapped, you see the pitcher. You get that first shot. Is he going to come backside? But no, he sees Jonathan in that second window. So he's going to pull that slant down. And now Trayvon understands that. And now he's on the top of number one, either a go or a post. So those are the kinds of conversations you have pre-snap and during the actual play, you start to understand the body language. And if you have defined roles and you understand the weaknesses and strength of your opponent and his offensive philosophy, now we can understand each other's body language and how we're leaning and what we're expecting. So those things, I think both these guys, because they love football, because they're studiers, because they're going to have a book on each kind of quarterback and offensive system, you'll understand it's verbal communication and it's nonverbal communication. And sometimes the nonverbal communication is the best thing, because that's when we understand each other. We've seen the same thing. We're making sure that if you can jump on the pump fake, that I'm going to be on top for you. I'm going to recover or cover your butt if you jump on this route here. And those are the things that you can see happening with these two, because they're very, very instinctual players. So we're going to allow Jonathan to be able to jump and undercut routes. And Trayvon, because he plays free safety, understands that his corners and his strong safeties will be able to jump routes, and he's going to be able to be patient and be over top.
It feels like, for those two in particular, and I mean, this really goes to the entire defense, the importance of training camp and getting those reps.
Yes.
But it feels like for these two in particular,
that
time on task, being together, is going to be huge as we go into 2021.
Sitting next to each other in the film room,
mm-hmm.
understanding when Gus says, hey, I need you to be able to really be patient in this situation, because Kelsey loves to run this button hook, but he does it and he comes back into the inside. So he'll run up 10 yards, come outside, and curl back in inside. Both my safeties need to see that, because, and they need to see the same thing, because now I can have that nonverbal communication and say with a wink or a hand move, I got you on this. Jump that, and I'll be inside, and I'll be on top.
How hard is that for a DB to be patient, right? It feels almost counterintuitive to what we want DBs to do. It's like, hey, see the ball, go get the ball.
Yeah.
Best things, be disruptive. How hard is it to kind of like, all right, we got to kind of pick and choose our spots here and let this kind of play develop a little bit?
It's very difficult if you are playing with just your athleticism
mm-hmm.
and you're not to the point where you can believe what you're seeing on tape. And sometimes it takes you getting beat before you understand that. One thing I really loved about Trayvon Manning was his freshman or sophomore year, he had trouble with the double moves. He came back his next year and really improved on that on film. So already he understands the consequences of a free safety biting on a double move. And you have to really, you know, get beat maybe once or twice. And you understand that. So you allow your corners to be ultra aggressive on those things that you're going to be over top. So it is difficult, but it's a learning process just like everything else is.
And you're the last one there on the free safety. There's no one behind you,
and
right?
He understands that. Yeah. And that's what's great about that. And again, when you those things pop off the film, when you look at his film, you see his corners from TCU jumping routes, being beaten, and he's over top saving the day. And when you have that personality, and again, we never hear those interviews and those conversations between the coaching staff and the prospects. And those are the things that elevate you as far as a coaching staff is concerned. Maybe you don't have the popping film where you're knocking guys out, but maybe those little details about, yeah, I saw you got beat your sophomore year and then you came back and you made those plays. Why? What happened? Well, my coach, you know, set me down and explained to me the difference of playing strong safety, corner, and free safety. Free safety, I have to make sure I have everyone's back. So those kind of communications you have to have with Jonathan. You have to have with Damon Arnett. You have to have with Mullen. You have to be on the same page. Those guys, because they're so young, really need to sit together watching and breaking down film. And I think that's why the coaching staff for the Raiders is so important. We talk so much about Tom Cable and what he's been able to do with the offensive line. That's why you can get a younger tackle, put him at right tackle, start him, and Tom Cable can work on him with the negatives that he has, maybe the pass blocking with formations. And that's why Ron Miles, the defensive back coach, is so highly regarded, because he did those things in San Diego. He defined those roles in San Diego, and many of those guys went to the Pro Bowl after they got there. You know, he got the Desmond King, I believe, was the nickelback, defined his role. He turned out to be an outstanding player. We all know Derwin James, how he defined his role. So, again, I think the coaching staff here has a lot to work with, and hopefully these young players and what they've seen, they have the character, they have passion to play, that they're willing to sit together, learn, and together.
You know, I guess Bradley's going to have a lot to work with. Raiders stay defensive at 79 and 80. Malcolm Kuntz at 79, Divine Diablo at 80. And you look at both of these guys, and I think the kind of thing that jumps off to me is versatility, especially with Diablo at 80.
Yes.
I mean, this is a guy who can do a lot of things. He started college as a wide receiver, right? Isn't that right? He's kind of moved all around. He's done a lot of different things.
Yep.
But to me, I'm interested by Malcolm Kuntz. And everyone's going to bring up, for better or for worse, and I think just say no off the bat, he's a defensive end from Buffalo, right? He's not the next Khalil Mack.
Right,
all
no.
Right?
No.
He doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
Let him be Malcolm.
That's right.
Let him be Malcolm.
That's great
but
you said that.
I when I was hearing Mike talk tonight, I think the one thing that kind of stood out to me when he was talking about Malcolm in particular, it kind of feels like the coaching staff wants Malcolm to fill that role that we thought Arden Key was going to fill for
mm-hmm.
the past couple of years.
Right.
This third down specialist, a
yes.
guy who's bendy, a guy who can get off the edge, wreak havoc, get to the opposing quarterback, and really do it at a high rate. You don't need him to be a three-down guy.
That's
when
right.
you look at Malcolm, when you look at Kuntz and what he can be going forward, is that how you kind of see him and what he's best at is just putting his ears back and, hey, go get the quarterback 18 times a game?
I definitely agree. And I think we're talking about, and we've heard about this before, is about a NASCAR package or a mm-hmm. jet package where you may put Cleland inside along with Solomon Thomas, and you have – you know, you're too fast, just edge rushing guys off the corner and Malcolm and Yannick. And you see that package kind of coming up on special downs. If it's third and long and you understand and know that it's passing down, or we're ahead by, you know, 14 to 17 points, and you're forcing an offense to throw the ball, that's when you want to sub him in for an outstanding pass rushing time, even if it's first down, two-minute situation. To be able just to put him down, don't worry about dropping, don't worry about taking on a tackle or running back. You want to rush the passer. And I think that's where he can really develop as a player, to be a specialized player along with all these outstanding other players who are very versatile and can move around. But him, you want him rushing the passer. You want him doing what he does best.
I was just thinking as you were naming off all those names. Boy, I guess Bradley's got a lot of options.
A lot of options.
And there's going to be, and I don't want to be negative Nancy, but there's going to be some tough decisions come training camp, because you can't keep all these guys on the roster into week one.
Yeah, you're right. And I think
it's a good problem to have, though.
It really is a good problem to have, but they have to understand how important going into the season and having an outstanding new explosive pass rush is. We can't wait. We can't wait for you to pop. If you're some of the older guys who are trying to hang on, you got to show it. You got to show it right away, because these young guys seem like they love to play. They're versatile. They're ready to explode. They're here for a certain purpose and reason, particularly Malcolm. I mean, he's going to be probably a guy with a chip on his shoulder, you know, yeah. And people were overlooking him, and he's here to fulfill a role. And to have the bend and the length and the fluid ability to be able to get after the quarterback, it's going to be something special. So when you line him up, if he continues to pop, he can be a guy that subs Ngakoue at times. But he's going to be in a package. He's going to have to be able to really make that room really competitive.
And I imagine a guy like Max Crosby has to just be thrilled.
Oh, man.
He's just got to look around and be like,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And for a couple reasons.
Yeah.
Because when I interviewed Ngakoue, he talked a lot about leadership. And he has a book of all the tackles that he goes against. If he beats a guy, what move he beat him with. If a guy beat him, why. And so those are the things that Max needs to understand. Max had an outstanding rookie season. When he came back, he was the number one pass rusher on our team. So he's going to get the extra film work for the opponent. The offenses are looking at him. Okay, hey, you know what? Let's make him go wide. Let's make sure we false step at him and force him to go inside. So, again, those things he needs to clean up. And Ngakoue is going to help him be able to get a book on players, understand like what it takes to be a professional pass rusher in the National Football League, right? So I think Max is going to be excited about the help he's going to receive on the other side. May not get doubled as much, so he's going to be able to let his hair down a little bit, so to speak, and get in there and be reckless.
Yeah, and I think it's just, man, we talked about it so many times last year where it felt like, and this isn't a shot at anyone, it's just kind of the reality of the situation, where on the defensive line a lot last year, it felt like Max, Klee, and someone else?
Yeah.
Maybe, possibly?
Week in and week out, you just didn't know where you're going to get that consistent rush from. And I really believe if things work out, and again, there was a couple times when Klee got in the middle, and I was like, wow. I mean, that push the pocket from the middle, I mean, just creates so much havoc, right? So if you're able to line up a package like that where him and, like I said, Thomas are in the middle just pushing that pocket, it gives so much pressure to an offense to be able to have to counter that by bringing more people in to block that inside to outside. And now Max and Ngakoue and the rest of the bunch can really do an outstanding job. It's going to be very important, I think, that Carl really steps up. I think the pressure, because of the drafting of Malcolm, I think the pressure is really on Carl, and hopefully he accepts it and comes up and just really wows this coaching staff and be able to say, hey, I'm still here. I'm a viable part of this football team, and I want to be one of the reasons why this pass rush and the dominance up front can improve.
Yeah, and if you think he's the kind of guy that you hope he is, he does embrace that challenge.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, all right, let's bring it on. Let's go to work, boys.
Let's go.
I know I'm a little older than you guys. I got a little gray on the sides. Let's go to work.
Let's go.
But
let's
we
go.
Look at the draft now. We got one more day, and it's incredible. Let's look at four picks, 162, 167, 200, and 230. We got that seventh rounder that Mayock talked about at the end of the seventh, I should say.
Right.
But what are we looking at now in terms of team needs headed into day three?
Yeah.
And let's be straight, there's not going to be a lot of sexy names that are jumping off the
right.
board. You're drafting for depth. You're adding, special teams guys.
Yeah.
But what do we really need over this last, this last 8 hours?
Well, yeah, I think the one area really to add some depth, again, is at linebacker in the middle.
Yep.
I think you need to have some depth there in the middle of the football field, maybe somewhere on the offensive line, just to make sure, just to have a guy who can bounce around, be very versatile, center guard, that kind of thing. And then, big body receiver.
We were talking about this earlier.
I wouldn't hate it. Big body guy, because
we
have a couple fast guys, right? We have some route runners, hopefully, but maybe, a big body type of receiver who's a specialist.
Yep.
And he can kind of learn and work, practice squad or whatever. But I wouldn't be disappointed if we got a guy like that who can add to special teams. Everyone needs to add to special teams from here on out. You know, so that's extremely important.
And this is what I'm thinking. The name that just came to mind, we were kind of discussing that. Andre Holmes. Mm-hmm. He was a guy, a special team stud, and he was a big body dude. He was like 6'5", and he was just, once you got in the red zone, it was jump ball time.
Right,
go get it, Andre. Do your thing. I know you're kind of a one-trick pony, but it's a great trick.
It's
a great trick, brother.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm excited. We got one more day of this. Unfortunately, you guys won't be here with us tomorrow, so we got to take advantage of the time now. So I appreciate you staying up late with us.
Anytime.
But, man, this was fun. And, you know, if you're a fan of this team, you know, it's been an interesting couple months, I think, to say the least. But you got to feel better about where we are sitting on, what is this, Friday night?
Yes.
At the end of April, headed into May.
Know who you are.
Were. Yeah.
And what team you're rooting for. And this is a football team that wants to be a power-running football team and a team that gets turnovers.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing
so,
at all.
So, for Eddie Pascal, Eric Allen, our guest today, Alex Leatherwood, our friend Alexandra behind the glass, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps to get us from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And we will catch you guys tomorrow because the work is not done yet. We got four more picks, and we will catch you at the end of the 2021 NFL Draft for our final episode of the weekend, I should say, of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.